Well, I'd like to say it's good to be home. We encountered 4 inches of packed ice and couldn't get up our driveway. We've gotten at least 10 inches of snow since we've been home. Our plow guy says, oh, no, you haven't, so I had to stick a meter stick in it. Ministry in Pennsylvania was phenomenal. Ministry in North Carolina was good, and we got to experience the sweetness of Asbury University revival in Tennessee because 6 people and 2 others we know got to go there 2 Mondays ago and enter into the last public service. And because the youth leaders and the teen sons of the pastor and one of their friends were in Gen Z, they got put to the front of the line and got to go right in. So Sunday afternoon, or Sunday, well, it wasn't supposed to be afternoon. Service went long both Sundays. It was awesome to see Gen Z come forward, 50, under 25, college students, singles, couples, high school students, just weeping before the Lord at his presence, which was poured out. Now, this is not my message, but the greatest persecution of the new move of God is the last move of God. Because we get set by the religious spirit and the way the river was moving, and we start speaking against what he's doing. Don't let that happen here. Don't let it happen in your heart when you see someone, especially under 25, I told them when they asked us to minister to them, I told them, I don't understand this Gen Z stuff. I've been listening to generational stuff from the greatest generation, and we released a prophecy over them that it may have been called that, but they were going to carry more glory than any other generation has carried. Don't allow the enemy to use you to stop what he Holy Spirit wants to do through his sons and daughters. So tonight we're going to try and blow through this message. Good luck. So 2023, some prophetic thoughts. As you know, 2023 will conclude 5783 and begin 5784 on the Hebraic calendar at the end of September. So one of the things we need to be aware of this year, and I'm sorry, camera guys, I don't stand still. If I stand still, I fall asleep, and you don't want that to happen. This year, we need to be able to move with Holy Spirit in each new month. So last Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, the 21st, I think it was, at sunset, we entered into the 12th month, the month of Adar. This is a month to get our warfare strategies. This is a month to break through. This is a month to laugh. This is a month to start to move into the new things. So we're going to start looking at 2023 tonight by looking at what 20 means. How many of you know we are in the fourth year of this decade? 2020, 21, 22, 23. People are looking at me. You don't know math. This is the fourth year of the decade. I do understand math. So we need to understand 20 because every year this decade has 20 in it. 20 is one short of 21. Revelation. 21 is a threefold of 7. 7 times 7 times 7. And signifies divine completion, 3, in regard to spiritual perfection, 7. So when we get to the next century, we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. Some of you may still be here. 20 being one short of 21 signifies expectancy. Every year this decade is a year of expectancy. You know, last year, Lisa Fess's word for the year was expectation. You can go back and listen to that message online. It was a great message. So this is for Lisa and for Ron and for Valerie. I got the younger guys hooked on Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. expectation, the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe the event will happen. That's expectation. It differs from hope because hope originates in desire. I didn't know God had that phone ring. I know if he really wants me, because my phone is off, it will sit there and do a jig. I told a group once, Holy Spirit has so much electricity, he can turn my phone on without a battery. Hope originates in desire and may exist with little or no ground to believe the desired event will arrive. That's why hope deferred makes the heart sick and a longing fulfilled brings joy. Expectation is founded on some reasons which render the event probable. Hope is directed to some good. Expectation is directed to either good or evil. Too many people are expecting evil this year. So here's a few examples of expectancy in Scripture. We're not going to put up the Scriptures, but in Genesis 21, 38, and 41, Jacob waited 20 years to get the possession of his wife and his possessions. How many of you have waited 20 years? In Judges 4, 3, Israel waited 20 years for a deliverer from Jabin's oppression, and it came through a woman named Jael, under the direction of a woman named Deborah. In Judges 15:20 and 16:31, Israel waited 20 years for deliverance through Samson. Samson's a picture of you and I messing in the world when we should be focusing on God's call. In 1 Samuel 7:2, the Ark of the Covenant waited 20 years at Kiriath Jearim to be returned to its rightful place. In 1 Kings 9:10 and 2 Chronicles 8:1, Solomon waited 20 years for the completion of his two houses. You talk about a slow building plan. Jerusalem waited 20 years between its capture and its destruction. And Jeremiah prophesied 20 years concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. In 2023, we should approach all we do with expectancy of what Holy Spirit is going to bring us to, a greater dependency upon Him, and lead us into the restoration of all things. Our focus must remain on the Lord. You're going to hear that several times tonight. Despite the boiling pot of chaos, which is rampant in the world, 2023 is going to be an incredible year. There's still 10 months and 3 weeks left in this year. The promises of the Lord are sure, but we must do our part to manifest heaven on earth. It's just not going to happen. Jesus told us to pray, Thy kingdom come. It was a command. It was an exhortation. It wasn't, oh dear God. It was an authoritative, we decree your kingdom come here now. Your will be done here now. At Rosh Hashanah, we entered into a war for divine recovery. As I said in my 5783 message last fall, your words will establish the path you walk upon with the Spirit for Father's harvest. It's interesting that Holy Spirit had us in the theme of harvest tonight. How you speak into your future is how the Lord will manifest on your behalf in the fullness of time. In other words, as I said 4 years ago for this decade, if it isn't from God, zip it. Because Jesus said you will be held accountable for every idle word you've spoken. That's why at communion tonight we put those idle words under the blood. So from tonight forward, the past is bought by his blood and we can move forward in liberty. 2023 is also about opening the way, new paths for God's provision. How many of you would like new paths for God's provision in your life? Almost all of us. At Rosh Kodesh gathering in Syracuse a couple years ago, the Holy Spirit quickened me to prophesy we were entering into times of conflict and confluence. Confluence is the flowing together of two things to form a greater thing, like two rivers flowing together to form a bigger river. This is a now word for 2023. We're in times of conflict and confluence. It's a year in which abundant blessings and turmoil will coexist, and we get to choose which way we're going to walk. Our focus must remain on the Lord. Focus is a central point of concentration. I got saved 60 years ago because a Sunday school teacher, I won't tell you his name, he's probably in heaven now, taught us about focusing. And then he said, if you focus on Jesus, he'll carry you through life. And at the end of the class, I gave my life to Jesus. Focus means a lot to me. As we proceed through the year, our hearts and eyes and ears must be focused on the Lord, not the media or the ways of the world. In 2023, we will see the Lord's blessing in the midst of increasing turmoil. If you think the first 2 months were bad, we get to focus on the Lord and walk in glory when it gets worse around us. Whether we look at 5783 or 2023, Gimel, the Hebrew word for the number three, the year we are in, is key. Goshen, remember where Goshen was? It was the choicest part of Egypt where the Israelites settled when Jacob took his entire family of 70 people down to Israel. Goshen is a Gimel word, and we need to watch Goshen this year. And if you're not watching what's happening in the Middle East, you need to be praying for Israel. Why? Because they are the apple of God's eye. And they need to know Yeshua before he comes back. The same as you and I need to know Yeshua before he comes back. Watch Holy Spirit help us establish ourselves as a Goshen this year. Each of us is going to become a Goshen in some way. When Joseph was second in control in Egypt, like a modern day prime minister, Goshen was the land given to the children of Israel. It was the choice land, the best land, the land, this land provided for them in the lean years of famine and for 400 years after. There are some lean years ahead. Remember, I'm talking prophetically. And God will reveal to us how to establish our Goshens for the days ahead. This will look different from place to place and person to person. Most of you who have been at our house know we garden. Some Goshens will be gardeners. Getting out of debt will be important in 2023. Work on a plan to do that. Others may physically relocate to other areas where Goshen is already established. So don't be concerned when people move if the Lord has called them to move. I know people who have moved when the Lord hasn't called them to, and it's not pretty. Still others will stay and establish their Goshen in the midst of great darkness. Are we called to be a light? Yes. You are a Goshen, which means you will have God's provision to draw people to the light. There will be cities of refuge, which will be Goshens, and experience supernatural prosperity. And they are already in the process of forming now. The Lord is doing some unique things and outpourings of his presence in different places. There will be some in New York State, which will be provisions in the darkness. Psalm 2023 is important this year. Obviously, 2023. It's a key scripture to keep you moving forward with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He gives me provision in the presence of my enemies. This year, we are going to see families restored. Prodigal parents are going to come back. Prodigal sons and daughters are going to come back. Prodigal cousins and nieces and nephews are going to come back. Prodigal pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers are going to come back. No one is exempt from Holy Spirit unless we harden our heart and blaspheme Him. There's a great returning to the Lord coming. Families will be restored around the family table in this coming season. Prodigals will come back, so continue to call your prodigals home. Family unity is being restored. Another important part of this will be the restoration of hospitality. If you have gifts of hospitality, the Lord is putting a highlight on your gifts this year. Hospitality is where believers invite pre-believers into their homes and share a meal with them. Or what we heard in the two testimonies tonight, people who are not believers getting met in the marketplace and being invited to know the Lord. Generosity is going to be poured out as we come to the table of the Lord. Whose table is it? I'm doing math in my mind. It's slow when you work on your driveway too long. This summer we will have been in our house for 37 years. 37 years ago we gave it to the Lord. There are people who have keys to our house who can come and go as the Lord leads them, whether we're there or not, because the Lord told us to do that. It's His house. Most of you who know us know that they're His cars, and you've driven them more than us. They're His. Another important part of this restoration of the family is hospitality. Are you willing to invite someone in just to have a meal? They don't have to be down and out. They don't have to be up and out. If they don't know Jesus, they are out. Generosity is going to be poured out as we come to the table of the Lord, sharing goods and finances, which will bless many people. This also may manifest through the taking of communion around the table of the Lord. It's one of the reasons why in this house we take communion every week. He says, as often as we remember Him. I remember in some denominational churches I was in, we took communion maybe twice a year or once a month. And I had to wonder, is that as often as we remember Him? There is power released when we honor the Lord in communion. And when we did the stay-at-home COVID thing, we took communion every day for 70 days together. Covenantal friends will sit around the table and dream God's dreams and then go out and manifest them together throughout the earth. This is what I see happening in Gen Z. They are looking for something to die for, and my generation was looking for something to live for. The only thing worth either is Jesus. But they're willing to go out and lay it all down. They will form companies together. I'm talking about businesses. And sometimes they will literally become companies of people going about doing the work of the Lord. People who have felt lonely and out of place will find lasting friendships. These friendships will provide nets for harvest. Remember, if you're not thinking about harvest, you're not thinking Father's heart. Since Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, all the way through the Bible, especially at the end of Mark and Matthew, it's all been about harvest. This will be a harvest of souls and the coming together of a disconnected people around the table. It's amazing how sharing a little food can disarm the lies of the enemy. God is going to reveal himself as the good shepherd who will lead us beside still waters and green pastures. It's a lot better than what we're getting out of the media, isn't it? Chaos and confusion. We must stay very close to and focused upon the Lord this year, and he will lead and guide us in troubled times. 2023 will be the beginning of a time of fruitfulness and bounty. We're already beginning to see this happen. Businesses which have struggled will get their breakthrough. You know, most business people stop just before the turnaround is there, and they leave the opportunity for someone else. Bounty in the hands of God's children will be a sign and a wonder to many people. When the Lord gives you increase, it's going to cause people to wonder, what's so special about them? And guess what? All you have to do is love them, and they'll ask you, and you can tell them his name is Jesus. The Lord's going to make it easy for those of us who don't like to witness, because he's going to bring them into your stream to fish. The bounty is not just for personal security and safety, but to eradicate poverty and misery for others. One of my personal goals is to establish businesses whose function will be to eliminate systemic poverty. This is what I'm working on in the next quarter of my life. Isaiah 60 is thematic to what God is doing worldwide this year, and especially in Israel today. Gross darkness will encompass the earth, but the glory of God will shine out of the midst. And you know what? You're his lamp. Provisions are coming for God's people. In Isaiah 60, verse 6, we see the analogy Isaiah used, the camels are coming. In Isaiah's day, the camels always carried the wealth across the world to its new owners or its rightful owners. We all need to have finances to work the harvest. By the way, in Hebrew, camel is a gemel word. So we are in a year in which the camels come in is important. As the body of Christ drinks deeply from the Word of God, revelation will flow to show the directions we need to take our lives. If I want to do the same old, I'm going to be stuck in the same rut I've always been in. Do you know what a rut is? It's a grave with no end. Most of the body of Christ is stuck in a rut. We're trying to do it without Holy Spirit. A cursory knowledge of Scripture, or the milk of the Word, will simply not be enough to release you into what God wants to show you moving forward. We must pursue the meat of the Word of God this year. I don't have time to get into it, but meditate, where it says to meditate on the Word, literally means to speak it out loud, to yell it, to declare it, to sing it. It doesn't mean just think about it like some Oriental no-God worshiper. When you speak the Word of God, meditate on it, over your space, you are preparing the angelic hosts to go do what Father created them to do on your behalf, on your generation's behalf, on behalf of the bride in this era. In 2023, intercession will be essential to prevent worldwide war. How many of you are praying for the peace and the prosperity of Jerusalem? Thank you. It is a command in the Bible and the Psalms that we do that. Oh, and by the way, you get to prosper when you do that. Oh, who wants to believe that? How many of you are praying for his peace, not negotiated peace the way man thinks of peace? By the way, you know the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, but that's not what it means. It means salvation, provision, protection, and peace. Those are the literal definitions. You can do all the modern translations that make it seem flowery and beautiful. But it's Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Melchizedek. He is your salvation, your provision, your protection, and your peace. This is what Father wants to flow through each of you. Watch North Korea this year. It's already happening. Threatening South Korea, threatening Japan, threatening the United States, threatening Malaysia and Singapore. Watch Korea. And you know what? Your prayers into the atmosphere to bring peace, disarm the demonic forces which are stirring up these conflicts. Yes, I realize nations are involved, but I know the King of Glory. And he said, if we will speak his word, he will bring it back to him victorious. They're threatening China. China's threatening Taiwan and Indonesia. The Ring of Fire, which is the Pacific Rim, including California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. We are in the midst of meltdown of nations. We're seeing nations collapse. Jeremiah 1:10 states it very well. It is a time of tearing down, and there will be a time of building up. We've got to tear down the old. That's the prophet's job. So the apostolic can build up and establish the new thing the Lord is doing together. Jeremiah 1:10 is probably the best picture in Scripture of apostles and prophets working together. Great exposure of corruption will take place across the earth during the global reset of 2023. It's already beginning to happen. We're already seeing leaders who thought they were untouchable fall because they had unrepentant hearts. The same thing will happen to me if I don't repent. By the way, thank you, worship team, because during the time of the pre-service, you sang what I had to sing while I was shoveling my driveway this morning after I forgave the guy I paid to do my driveway, didn't come to do my driveway. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all which is in me. It's a command. I had to command my soul to do the word of the Lord. This is what he wants all of us to do in this coming year. Man thinks he is resetting the nations, but God has an overarching plan, and he is working behind the scenes. Declare your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's given each of us a sphere of influence. For some of us, it may be this big. For others of us, it may be around this region. For others, it may be New York. For others, it may be the United States. For some, it may be the nations of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. Ask him what your sphere is, and then take the authority Jesus won for you to take. Because Lucifer took it from you in the Garden of Eden. He took your authority, and Jesus won your authority back at the cross. As I said earlier, 2023 will begin the beginning of divine recovery. This is a season of recovering all. Lost relatives, lost stuff, lost businesses, lost finances. Is anything too difficult for God? I told the folks in Pennsylvania two Sundays ago, he owns the Thousand Hills and everything under it and on it. He can restore it all. But he's looking for you and I to partner with him in the earth to do it. 2023 will see the demonstration of power. How many of you want to see the move of the power of God? It's happening in secular universities. Many of them were founded as Christian places of education, and they lost their way, just like you and I, but they're coming back. We are about to see the greatest demonstration of God's power in the earth. This is the saints' movement. Bill Hammond prophesied it 3 decades ago. It started in 2008, and it's been crescendoing ever since. The Saints movement is every whosoever who believes, walking in the power and the authority of the risen Lord who lives in them, just like in the book of Acts. We are still in the book of Acts. He has not stopped acting through his born-again, spirit-filled sons and daughters. And this move of the Lord will bring more demonstrative workings of his spirit in the earth than everything in the last 2,000 years. These power demonstrations are going to make quite the headlines, because the psychobabble that's been going on is not going to be able to explain what God just did by raising people from the dead or restoring what was destroyed in all kinds of chaos, acts of violence. Persecutions will arise against these move of God and the leaders of on the movements. So what's new? They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted John the Baptist. Do we think we're excluded? Will we press in? Yes. Do not be surprised by this, but keep persevering in the middle of turmoil. Satan is going to try and bring divisions and separate close friends, but remain steady to the work of the Lord. Focus on the Lord. The spirit of detraction will become a key spirit the enemy uses for the rest of this decade. Detraction has the purpose of separating marriages, families, congregations, cities, and regions. The devil is a divide and conquer enemy. But we know the one true God. Seemingly small moves of God will grow big, like what happened during the Welsh revival under Evan Roberts. We will be surprised and delighted at the hot spots of revival here and there. So don't always think you have to run someplace. Just ask him to fall on you. If you haven't watched it, find out how you can watch The Last Reform Rochester. He did Asbury here in the next 2 generations during our time of worship. There will be a renewed interest in the history of revival as a new generation calls out to God to do it again. It's what we were talking about tonight. The Hebrew and Greek words for testimony literally mean it works, do it again. I used to hate history when I was a young athlete and science geek. Now I love to know his story throughout time. Instantaneous healings will take place and come like the lightning of God. Did you get the lightning last night? It struck right in front of our house. Lit up everything. That's how quick healings are going to come. They're just going to explode out of people like you and kids. And all of a sudden, people are going to want to know what's going on. And all you got to do is tell them. Just like the man who leaped up at the gate beautiful, which means in the appropriate time. The power of God will come in waves like a tsunami of revival. And we're going to see people cured of all manner of incurable illnesses. He is the God of all creation. And he's about to thwart the one who's trying to corrupt it, meaning make it go bad. The spirit of offense. A spirit of offense has been loosed in the earth by the enemy. This is not a low-level type of a spirit. It's a very high-level spirit. And God is working in the hearts and minds of believers to be unoffendable. I love the way Lisa put it 3 years ago. Believers need to be tender-hearted and thick-skinned. The enemy wants us to be thick-hearted and tender-skinned. That's what the spirit of offense does. These testings will take place to see whom God can trust to steward the move that is coming. He has a great move coming, and he's going to see whether offenses can stop us from being a vessel he can pour his glory through. I'm glad he got a hold of my heart again 40 years ago. Even those who feel they cannot be offended are going to be surprised at the level of offense they are capable of coming under in the days ahead. You've heard that spoken in messages over the past 2 or 3 months here of how they were caught off guard by offenses. Pride is a stumbling block, and pride is usually the root of offense. God is purging and testing prophets first, because prophets are called to steward the fresh word along with other ministries into the earth. And so he's testing the hearts of prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Why? Because he's called these five to equip all of us to do the work of Jesus. Do you know what the work of Jesus is? Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and speak the gospel of the kingdom. That's the work we were all born again to do. Do not be caught in a snare of offense. If you are, quickly repent and do not let yourself be separated from those God is calling you to walk with in a close way. He's going to do some new alliances and alignments. The enemy wants to keep you isolated. Remember the Amalekites. They always attacked those that were at the rear, straggling behind the move of God, if I put the Old Testament movement to the Promised Land in New Testament terms. Do not get caught up in a war of words. Even though you are right, we should not get in a protective, defensive mode trying to justify ourselves. I know 2 plus 2 is 5. That's how some of us sound when we try to defend something that God said, all I wanted him to do was trust me. But we defend our own little pet theologies and theories. We have one justifier, and the last time I checked, it's not any of us in this room, on the web, or any place in the world. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Anointed One. This year, watch out for the Leviathan spirit. We've been battling the spirit in this region for a while. I'm not going to get into it. But the Leviathan spirit will work with the spirit of offense. How many of you have been offended by what's been spoken on the media? Well, guess what spirit controls the media? One of the seven heads of Leviathan. Leviathan will cause your words to be twisted and used out of context. Has anyone ever quoted you wrong? I once told a group, you may think you heard what you thought I said, but I didn't say what you think I heard. That's how the enemy works. He will twist your words so all of a sudden you promised everyone in the room an ice cream cone.
Thank you.
In February. Oh, I've got to wait another year now. The ecclesia in 2023 is going to begin to become increasingly important in the earth. The understanding of the ecclesia is going to cause local churches to shake off old wineskins and move into seeing the establishment of apostolic centers. For those of you who know me, that's been my vision for the last 25 years, is to see apostolic centers arise. We're starting to see them around the earth. We're starting to see places where they will be in New York State. Great spiritual authority will come into manifestation, and these centers will become discipleship centers to heal the nations. It's not all about us. It's all about Father's harvest. It's all about taking the principle of the kingdom of God to every place we go 7 days a week, including our Shabbat. Revival and reformation will become the theme of the day. You notice I didn't say transformation. Awakening, revival, transformation, reformation. Rochester, New York is the only city in North America which was ever reformed in a revival in the 1830s to date. If we don't call his presence back, which he has commanded us to do, we are going to see other cities experience far greater than what he did here. He wants to do, he told me, a 10 times greater work. And if you understood what he did from 1830 to 1980 in this region, it's phenomenal. He created new wealth patterns for the entire world right here in the Flower City when it was F-L-O-U-R. Ecclesia leaders from many countries will form multinational alliances and respect and esteem each other's strengths. You don't have my gifts, I don't have your gifts, and without your gifts, my gifts are less than what Father intended them to be. We need to be working together. The ecclesia leaders and nations will celebrate one another and not be in competition. This has been one of my prayers for 3 decades. Well, Al just prophesied, I'm going to have to prophesy bigger. Well, Apostle so-and-so just did this, we're going to have to outdo it. It's not competition, it's about what does Father want to use. And you know what? If I get in the way, he'll use a donkey. I wonder what that makes me. The prophets in particular need to celebrate and cover one another as they manifest their different callings. If you're not praying for prophets, start praying for the Lord to use their gifts in a serendipitous way. To use their gifts in ways which will not be competitive, but will allow the presence of the Lord to be poured out everywhere they go. For instance, we need to rejoice what is happening with the prophetic evangelists and their role of revival and in the harvest that's coming. They're different than a seer, and we need to allow all of the expressions of the prophet, which is another complete series of teachings, to be formed in the earth. Some churches will be divided in the coming days. Churches will persecute one other churches, and the polarity will increase. We're working to diffuse that in the region. The two biggest spirits in this region are the spirit of death and the religious spirit. So if you're not into spiritual warfare, you can put that away. If you are, that's what we're battling against. A religious spirit will raise its head to try and tear down the new moves of God. The next generation must be protected by the ecclesia leaders and not let them become jaded by the infighting in the church itself. Beware of a marriage between the religious and the political spirit. You see that already in New York State. You saw it last year with our governor claiming to be the apostle and us to be her disciples. God will give weighty solutions to weighty problems through his bride. In order for this to happen, leaders must have these 3 C's: character, competence, and capacity. That's what the Lord's looking for in his leaders. Great ethics and character cannot necessarily solve the problems of the earth. We need the power of God to solve the earth's problems. And God's power through understanding these 3 C's will help equip Reformation leaders. Many people get an anointing, but they don't yet have the character mature enough to handle it. and it destroys them. You can see that throughout history with people who were moving in the power of the Spirit, and all of a sudden their whole world collapsed because they didn't allow Holy Spirit to develop character, competence, and capacity within them. Humility for the coming days will be key. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time, He will lift you up. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. You see, we need to be bending low. That's why the glory of the Lord was all over you in the pre-service. Because the sword of the Lord is coming. And if I'm up here, la-di-da, in my pride, guess what's getting lopped off? The 18 inches from lie to truth. Part of this humility we must walk in is to give glory to God and not look for credit what we have prophesied or what we have done. It's all His. It's His word. There's a divine urgency in the coming days to be holy and prepared for what is to come. Do not be afraid, but walk in holiness. You know what that means? Do you know what holy means? It means to be set apart. That's all it means. It means I'm going to choose Jesus versus my peer group. I'm going to choose Jesus versus what the university said is truth. I think Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Part of the move of God among the ecclesia will be in the importance of honoring Israel and understanding God's timetable through the feasts. Monday night, we begin the Feast of Purim. It's a pay word. We're in the pay decade in the Hebraic calendar. And every one of the feasts, especially Passover and Purim, this decade, the Lord is beginning a new thing. And so we need to be expecting Him to move in ways. The ecclesia will see the raising up of architectural forerunners. You know what an architect is? Someone who designed this building, converted the warehouse into a house of worship. He's going to raise them up who have building gift and to see vision and to help make it happen. We're going to be partnering with people we don't know because the Lord's going to raise them up to help build what He wants built to take His kingdom forward in Monroe County, in New York State, and the nations of the earth. And they will also be honoring those who go before them. Remember I said the greatest persecution of the new move of the Lord is the past present move of the Lord. Keith, can you come up? So how do we move forward tonight? I'm going to make some declarations over you. I will give these to Lynn, and if you want them, she can email them to you. So that's how we're going to end. I'm going to encourage you, if you can, stand for the next 5 minutes to stand. Because when you decree a thing, according to the Lord through Job in chapter 22, verse 28, it will come to pass, and the light of His glory will shine upon your path. How many of you want the light of His glory on your path? Father, we ask You to return us to the level of authority You initially gave the church. We decree we will recuperate and regain what has been lost, taken, or captured. We decree we will reclaim lands which have become waste structures. And we decree we will become well and overcome weaknesses. We ask You to deliver people from troubled states of mind, hope deferred, confusion, fear, and unbelief. We ask You to give us new states of mind where the Word of God will begin to refresh our thoughts and restore our faith. We ask You to break the wounds of betrayal from the past season off of those who have been betrayed. We decree old cycles in which some people are trapped will break, and they will come into a whole new identity. Father, we ask you to remove trauma which has been embedded in their cells and thinking processes. In any way our spirits have been distressed in the last season, we ask you to break the power of all vexation. Cause us to leap into our future. We ask to be known as joyful, faith-filled people capable of representing your kingdom. We ask you to give us new seer gifts. This is a year pictured by Ezekiel's prophetic ministry, so we ask you to open our eyes to see in ways we have never seen before. We ask for a new watchman anointing, enabling us to watch for and discern what is coming against us. Father, in our war for recovery and restoration, help us to overcome the dragon's fiery breath and be empowered by the fire of your Spirit. We ask you to rebuild altars which have either gone into decay, grown cold, or fallen into waste, and we ask you to blow your fire on them once again. We thank you for all new sources of supply. We will pioneer new avenues for Holy Spirit supply into our future. We will dig new wells this year. We decree any spirit ruling in our sphere of authority, such as Goliath or Baal or Ishtar or Moloch, will begin to lose its grip on what we have authority over. Give us strategies to release what our enemies have held captive. Father, make the Ecclesia a united company this year. A mighty army to rule for the future. Give us revelation regarding how to dethrone the devourer, and give us new opportunities to serve, speak, and change those around us who do not know you. Give us inroads into new places. Finally, Father, we declare the release of your kingdom rule. Manifest your kingdom authority residing within us, so spirits, powers, and principalities ruling our government will begin to fail. Put your decrees within us. When we decree your will, it will happen. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Father, I send your sons and daughters to be ambassadors of grace and glory every place you've called them to walk, not only this week, but throughout this year, and in the fulfillment of your redemptive purpose for their lives. I send them to prosper in your presence because you prosper their souls in your glory. In Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a very blessed week.